This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's a big day in Northern Colorado, specifically in Fort Collins. We're going to have the press conference here at 2:30. We'll air that for you on KFKA. Jay Norvell getting ready to give his opening press conference as the new head coach for the Colorado State Rams. Joining me now, Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet. Chris probably knows a thing or two about the Rams' new head coach. Chris, my friend, I know you're a busy guy. Thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Yeah, no problem.
How you guys doing, man? I mean, CSU fans are just, it seems like they're just absolutely through the moon with this hire. So much different than the Addazio situation going on. So there's a lot of excitement in Fort Collins. What's the atmosphere like in Nevada?
Well, I think they're upset. I don't think they're upset so much at Jay. I mean, Nevada's gotten used to losing some really good coaches, but they have always gotten the Power 5 jobs, whether it was Eric Musselman going to Arkansas or Jay Johnson, the baseball coach, going to Arizona. He's now at LSU. Like, those are more understandable than losing your football coach within your own conference for the first time in the history of the Mountain West. So I think there are a lot of questions being asked about the kind of support or lack of support that Jay Norvell felt to leave Nevada for a team within the Mountain West and, you know, a team that hasn't won a Mountain West championship in a long time. It's not like this is the premier program in the conference. There's obviously a salary difference. I mean, making $1.8 million a year is a lot different than the $625,000 he was making here. Nevada was willing to raise that up to the seven-figure mark, but certainly not up to the Colorado State mark. So I think people are asking Nevada to be a little bit self-reflective about how they let this coach get away to a team within its own conference.
Yeah, well, and it's such a rare thing. As you said, this is the first time it's happened in the Mountain West Conference. So it's not just a great coach moving on for Power 5 or what have you. This is just moving, some would say, even kind of just a lateral move within the conference. And I say it's not really a lateral move when you add the money to it, of course. But it's that one's got to sting a little extra because it's a move within the conference. I saw you retweeted Carson Strong moments ago, said, hey, not crazy about seeing you in that green, but congrats. Maybe that's kind of the mixed feelings, right? That they're happy for the guy, but it's also kind of an awkward situation.
Yeah, and he'll be coming back to Reno next year to play at Mackey Stadium, so that will be a fun game. It'll be interesting to see if he gets booed or if he gets cheered. I think Jay was very well liked during his time at Nevada. He was certainly more well liked than his predecessor, Brian Polian, who the community was down on pretty early in his tenure, and he never really recovered. I think people here, both within the community and certainly within that locker room, really respected Jay. I mean, Jay's a very good player's coach. He's a very good person, which I think is actually pretty rare in college football. So I think he built a lot of really strong relationships, both in Northern Nevada and certainly on his own roster. And, you know, those people were probably a little bit disappointed, but it has been interesting to see that there's not been much vitriol directed his way, either from within that locker room or within this community. So I do think, you know, the whole point of losing within your conference, it looks lateral. I don't think they're lateral jobs. I did rank all the Mountain West jobs a couple of years ago, and I had Colorado State at number 4 in the conference and Nevada at number 8. Certainly the operating budget is bigger, the salary is bigger, the facilities are better. There are a lot of things going for CSU. I mean, the academic portfolio is better than even Nevada. So I don't think it's necessarily lateral, but it's not the kind of jump that everybody was expecting. Even Jay himself, I think Jay would have told you that he would have been heading for a Power 5 job straight from Nevada, and maybe he didn't think he could get there from this position and with this support. So he had to kind of take an intermediate stop, and now he's getting paid as one of the top 10 coaches in the Group of 5.
Yeah. Now, talking to Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet, and you said it, most fans are, pretty positive about the guy. And boy, doesn't that say a lot about a coach that just moved on and then moved over to the conference? I mean, in some aspects, you could see a lot of fans being extremely upset. But as you said, seems like such a good guy, such a likable guy. Tell us a little bit more about that, because you're right. It does seem like the players and the fans, from what we've seen on a small scale anyway, are still pretty cool with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is when you talk to these players off the record, I mean, they're going to say nice things on the record. They're not going to say, I don't like my coach, he's kind of an idiot kind of thing. But if you talk them off the record, you know, they really appreciate the investment he made in them personally, the investment that he made in their careers and helping them get to a point to where they are. I mean, you mentioned that Carson Strong tweet. That is a kid who had one scholarship offer at the FBS level, and now is probably going to be a top three round draft pick in next year's NFL draft. So helping them make that transformation, giving them that opportunity. You know, he's just a Midwestern guy. I mean, this is a guy who grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. His dad was an athletic director at Michigan State. He's been around college athletics his entire life. He still has that kind of Midwestern charm about him. You know, he was like childhood friends with Chris Farley and Bob Johnson, the head coach of the Miracle on Ice hockey team. So this is a guy who's very humble. He's very passionate, certainly, about what he does. He's a very hard worker. He's a guy who had to pay his dues. He didn't get a head coaching job until age 53. I mean, this is a guy who was interviewing for head coaching jobs for 15 years before Nevada gave him the opportunity. And I think that's what stings to a degree. I mean, the Wolfpack picked him up from being the wide receivers coach at Arizona State. He had kind of seen his career kind of go on the tail end after being the offensive coordinator at UCLA and Nebraska and Oklahoma. Got fired from Oklahoma, went to Texas for a year, went to Arizona State for a year. It looked like the window had kind of closed on his opportunity to be a head coach. Nevada gave him that opportunity. He obviously took it and ran. And I feel like if there's any kind of anger, it's just that, you know, Nevada gave him the opportunity. He had success, and he didn't stick it out and wait until that Power 5 job opened. So I think beyond that, though, I mean, people are, you know, happy that he's getting this opportunity, both within that locker room and in the community as well.
Chris, there are some fans up here that are, you know, they're saying things like, hey, you know, the worry, I suppose, is that on that Power 5 situation, that he's going to do what McElwain did, kind of build this thing back up quickly, maybe, we hope anyway, in 3 years or so, and then look for that. He will be in his early 60s at that point if he does in fact build it up 3 or 4 years. Do you see him still, like, that's the ultimate goal for him, is to get onto a Power 5, be a head coach at that point? Or could you realistically see him settle down and just kind of establish some roots for the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years if Rams fans are lucky?
I think that's really rare. I mean, you guys saw it with Sonny Lubick. We saw it with Chris Alt. Yeah. I don't think those coaches really exist anymore. I think every coach wants to be at the Power 5 level. Every coach believes they can win a national championship. They're that good. They could put that kind of program together. I think you see the kind of money being thrown around at the Power 5. I mean, $80 million contracts to Mel Tucker and Mario Cristobal and Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin. It goes, the money is so ridiculous at that next level that that's always going to be hard to turn down, whether it's just the money itself or the opportunity. That being said, he did interview for a number of Power 5 jobs and he didn't get them. So maybe there's just something that hasn't put him over the hump. I would say if you're Nevada and you look at, do we want to pay Jay Norvell $1.8 million a year? You know, arguably, he just had the best roster he's ever going to have at Nevada. You have Carson Strong, who's a, you know, really high draft pick. You have Cole Turner and Romeo Dubs, probably top 100 draft picks. Their entire defense was basically seniors, a lot of them fifth-year seniors, and they couldn't quite get over that hump. Last year, they were a half away against San Jose State, up 13.5, and they lose that game in the regular season finale, and they don't get to the Mountain West title game. This year, they lose 3 Mountain West games by a combined 6 points. So maybe are you thinking, if you're Nevada, is this the guy who can get us to that championship level, or would it be better to take the $2 million buyout and move forward? Now, I would have tried to keep him no matter what, just for the continuity and the fact that I think he's a good person and a good coach. But I do think that there's maybe that concern if you're making this hire. You're certainly getting a very good football coach, a good football man, and a good person. Are you getting a guy who can get you to that championship level? I mean, Colorado State and Nevada are two of the only 4 schools in the Mountain West to not play in a Mountain West title game since the divisional split in 2012. The other 2 schools are UNLV and New Mexico. And you don't really want to be on a list with UNLV and New Mexico in terms of football.
Yeah, and those are interesting points, too, because you're right. It was a stacked roster, and obviously Carson Strong. I'd like to see him in a Broncos uniform, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, I think you're going to – Denver Broncos.
Yes,
okay, yeah, that
yes.
might happen. That might happen. I thought you were going to say a Rams uniform. I'm like, he's not coming, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he did bring some players. I mean, you saw what Blake Anderson did at Utah State, bring in 3 players from Arkansas State and win in the Mountain West. I think players like Jay enough that you could see some guys transfer over there. But yeah, Carson probably more likely in a Broncos uniform than a Rams one.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I tweeted that out the other day. I said, hey, you know what? CSU's going to get Nevada's head coach. The Broncos might get Nevada's quarterback someday. And people were like, how do you know he's not transferring over to CSU? I'm like, he's going to be a top 3 guy. So I can't see it happening.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. I mean, the question for us is, will he play in the bowl game? And I think at this point, you know, probably not so much with Jay not there. But, yeah, he could bring some talented guys over there. I mean, there are a number of really good players still on this Wolfpack roster. They're certainly losing a lot of talent. But, you know, I think the taboo of taken players with you is kind of gone after the the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. You said it, he's a great guy, nice guy. We're going to hear from him in about an hour in his press conference. Steve Adazio was not exactly media friendly. He wasn't really inviting. The fan base didn't feel that either. So compare that to what we're going to see with Jay Norvell. I mean, it seems like just from the outside looking in, Chris, that he's pretty darn cool to the media and the fans, as we've already talked about, love the guy.
He's professional, and I think that's all you can ask from a media standpoint. I don't think fans care how a coach treats the media all that much. But
right.
If I could, that is my biggest thing with losing Jay Norvell from Nevada. Like, I don't root for the team. I cover the team, but he's just a guy who, no matter what you write or say, if it's on, the level, if you're not taking cheap shots at him, he's going to accept it and he's going to acknowledge it and he's not going to get all bitter or frail about it. And I've dealt with coaches like that in the past. This is a guy who will invest in the community. His wife, Kim Norvell, is a great person as well. She's dealt with cystic fibrosis her entire life, and she likes to do fundraisers for that very deadly disease. They're just very good people, and he's going to do his best to market the team. Nevada did not have the most success in terms of attendance, but the Wolfpack puts a lot of burden on these coaches to market their own team. So, you're going to love covering him. I think fans are going to love, being able to see him out in the community and, the kind of enthusiasm he's going to bring. I mean, he's a football guy through and through. He really does love the sport, and I think he's in it for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think it's going to be fun, of course, for Colorado State fans, especially after what just happened. I mean, a year and a half. It was a weird situation, Chris, with Steve Adazio, no doubt about it. On many fronts, I thought for the longest time, if you save the outside stuff, take the outside stuff away, do you really want to move on from a guy after a year and a half? They only played in four games last year, but there was just so many things going on. And of course, as you saw firsthand, he doesn't even go out to the middle field to shake hands at the end of the Nevada CSU game because he was ejected before halftime. So those things just really started to mount up. And at the end of the day, that just seemed like there was no choice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they made a bad decision, but it's a sunk cost. So what are you going to do? You're just going to keep driving your program down. I mean, you want to get fans into that stadium. You don't want apathy when you put $220 million into a stadium. So I think they made the right decision. I think they hired a coach that at minimum is going to get them to a bowl every single season, whether he can get them to that Mountain West championship level. That's to be determined. But it's certainly a big upgrade. They made a mistake a couple years ago, and they had to pay the price to fix it. But, if you have the right coach in place, a lot of the other things solve themselves financially.
Chris, so what's next for you guys? I'm sure you guys are knee deep in the coaching search and who potentially that's going to be for Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to come up quick, right? I mean, you have signing day next Wednesday. So I think they've got about seven more days to get someone in place here. So the timing's not great. Nevada doesn't pay the highest salary. Nevada does not have an indoor football practice facility. I still think it's a pretty attractive job, though. I mean, this is a team that's been to a bowl 14 of the last 17 years. It's right next to California. Great recruiting opportunities in Southern California and Northern California. It's a community that really does care about their program. They might not have the highest attendance marks, but, there's really not any other competition outside of a AAA team in baseball. So I think they'll get a good, person. Doug Knuth, the athletic director here since 2013, has really hit a home run on every revenue sport hire he's made, from Eric Musselman to, as I mentioned before, Jay Johnson. TJ Bruce is a baseball coach who's won a couple of Mountain West championships. Obviously, Jay Norvell did a really good job. He hired Steve Alford. So he has not missed yet, even though he has to deal with kind of a shoestring budget. So, I don't have any specific names for you. We're still kind of early in the process, but it's going to have to move quick if they want this done before signing day.
Chris, we appreciate you coming on, man. I know it's been a whirlwind for you guys, and you're a busy man. And, hopefully we can reconnect when we get up to next season, when these two teams meet again. We'd love to get your take on that.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet says all the right things that I think Rams fans wanted to hear. An amazing guy, heck of a coach. The negative, though, if you wanted to find the negative, was what Chris had mentioned there at the end, or in the middle of the interview, was that the best? Nevada probably had the best roster it's had under him, and very good record, but they didn't get over that hump as far as competing in for a Mountain West championship game. And I guess to that, you just kind of say, well, this is... Look at San Diego State, top 24 team. Utah State, pretty damn good. Who'd they lose to? Nevada lost to San Diego State, Fresno State, and Air Force. I mean, all three of those teams. That was when Fresno State was, and they were pretty damn good, 9-3. But there was a time when they were ranked, and I think that was right around that time. So I would just say to that, Nevada ended the season 8-4 with a 5-3 record in the conference, but the teams in front of them, Fresno State and San Diego State, were having monster years too. And I know that's an excuse, whatever, but I think it's fair to say the teams in front, you know, and I know San Diego State ended up losing, but the teams in front ultimately were pretty damn good all season long. So that's what I would say to that side of it. Now, he did scare me a little bit because I was pretty set in stone with my whole, he's 58, he's probably going to be here for a while. But according to Chris, who obviously has covered this guy a hell of a lot longer, I've not even talked to him yet, is that the Power 5 conference is still kind of that dream that's out there. But he wouldn't be getting it at best until 62 or 3, probably, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, 62 or 3 is not that old, especially nowadays. People can live to be like robots now, man. Like 120, 150, 200 years. Depends on your level of income, I guess. But I still feel like at this stage, yeah, he's probably going to be here for a while. He's probably going to be here for the long haul. What does the long haul look like? I mean, if you're a Rams fan, you're hoping he's good enough to be a 5-10 year guy. 10 years is so rare, but that's the goal, right? That's what, if you're an organization, you want that. Like CSU basketball wants Nico Medved to be here 10 years, really lay down roots and establish a culture. It takes a lot of time to do that, a lot of time, a lot of wins, a lot of success. And so if you get that success in 3 to 4 years, which is the hope, is he now interviewing for a Power 5 job? If you're the Rams, would you want to be in that position, I guess. You'd rather be in that position than having to fire your coach after 2 years. But I don't know. That was the only thing that kind of made me sad there. I was hoping Chris would just give us all puppies and rain. Kind of felt bad, though. It's like Nevada, right? That's got to suck. Because they're in the Mountain West is already a stepping stone. CSU is a stepping stone job. Nevada is like a way bigger stepping stone job. Like that is, you know, you get that job because you don't get a Power 5, whatever. You go there, you try to grow, you try to build, and then you can move. I mean, he moved up. This is not a lateral move for many reasons. The pay, number one, and the resources that he has now. CSU, you can complain. This is why the pressure was on Adazio. This is why the pressure was on Joe Parker, because you have the beautiful stadium. You have all of the assets you need to get recruits over there. Now, let's face it. It's Fort Collins. That's another recruiting tool. I mean, you're an Alabama guy, but you love it in the state of Colorado. I know you're Greeley, but Greeley's 5 seconds away from Fort Collins. This northern Colorado area is a prime spot.
No, it's great. It's growing. There's the community is here is great. And something that I've seen with McCaffrey is being able to get the in-state guys that maybe don't get the big-time offers from a California school or a Texas or an SEC school. And there's a lot of good football players in Colorado too.
Yeah. No, there is. And again, my hope is that you get – he said it, though. The Sonny Lubics are rare. I'm just going to keep being hopeful until we get another one. Like, I sure hope Nico Medved is a Sonny Lubick. I hope Jay Norvell can become, like, Sonny Lubick-esque. Like, he'd have to be here a long time, into his 70s, right, to be Sonny Lubick type. Nico Medved has that chance because he's young. He's built something already. But I don't know. And competition-wise, Medved could stay here and be happy because CSU could just as well go do big things. And like, could you I'm not going to predict that they're going to win a national championship ever, but would you be shocked if I said, yeah, I think someday they could? Not really, just because it's basketball. Now, getting over that Elite Eight Final Four hump is always difficult when you have the group of five school, or whatever the hell you want to call them, in mid-majors. It's difficult, but it can be done. But it's not about that. It's as Jeff Goodman pointed out yesterday from Stadium that you're, what is he making?
What did we say he was making? 700? Was that what Nico Medved, efforting music? Can we, let's see what is Nico Medved currently making? Thank you. Thank you for that. $775,000. $775,000. And you know, as you pointed out on Oko Now, there's guys making $3 million. There's guys making $5 million. There's guys making $8 million. I don't know if Medved's there yet, but he's definitely worth more than $1 million. Just from what we've seen growing. What he can build. Sorry to give you the bad news on that. I don't know. No. Back to puppies and rainbows. We got a great press conference coming up at 2:30 with Jay Norvell addressing fans and media today. So back to puppies, rainbows, and kittens. Nico Medved's not going anywhere. He'll be here for 30 years. He will be Sonny Lubick of basketball. They'll have 3, 4, 5 national titles when it's all said and done. Jay Norvell will be here till he's 73 years old. By that time, he has reestablished this wonderful culture that's winning Mountain West championships and, who knows, maybe even getting into a college football playoff someday when they expand it, like my grand plan to get them all the conferences a representative in the playoffs. And all those things are going to happen, and then his protege comes right in and takes off, and you've got a great culture built up. And CSU is wonderful.
Quite the dream,
and then UNC follows suit because it's not that far away, so the culture is spilling over into Greeley. The football is bleeding all over Northern Colorado, and everybody just loves football and basketball, and it's amazing up here.
Let's just get the Broncos and Nuggets going.
Well, you got to get somebody else other than Nikola Jokic to do something. Will Barton had 19 points, but his minus was 21.
Can Teddy switch?
Put Joker on. Why do you keep putting me in a dark place, Angel? You keep bringing up Teddy Bridgewater, and that
you'd
just
rather have Drew Lock or Nikola Jokic as your quarterback.
Drew Lock. But I bet you Joker would have tried to tackle him on that fumble a few weeks ago. He would have shoved him in the back and knocked his out.
That or his brother's. Brother would have ran from the top,
probably.
From the top row.
Oh, every time Joker gets sacked or something, one of the brothers would be running out. Are we due for a bottom of the hour break? Is that where we are? Wow.
Yeah.
We're late.
There's no clock today.
All right, 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Don't forget, we're gonna bring you the Jay Norvell press conference for the very first time, the big one, coming up at 2:30. So you got to keep it here, 103.1, 1310, or online at 1310kfk.com. Right now, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.